T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
We discussed this earlier this week when AJ was in, but we were talking about an article up at sportsillustrated.com. And it's about what happens now to the NFL prospects who opted out of their final college seasons. And we talked about some of the line of questioning that evaluators were giving prospects and what the prospects themselves went through, and how it was just kind of such a weird year in COVID. But what about the 150 that opted out? And Alex Pruitt wrote the article. He's a senior writer for SI, and he's kind enough to join us today. Alex, thanks for taking a few minutes. How are you doing this afternoon?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
150 guys opted out of the college football season, and you talked to a handful of them for your article. Overarching, kind of, what was the sense that you got that NFL teams and how they are evaluating these guys who've been sitting out for a year and their passion for the game?
Yeah, all over the map, for sure. It certainly depends on the prospect, and it probably depends on the front office as well. We spoke to, front office executives who said they weren't going to pay it any mind. And, obviously this is a once in a lifetime pandemic here. So the decisions these prospects made to, secure their safety and their well-being and their future earnings, they shouldn't be held against them. And, on the other end of the map, I think some executives stress the importance of the interviews, especially whether at the Senior Bowl, whether on Zoom, whether at pro days, to essentially learn the reasons behind why they opted out. And I think the implication there is that, there might be some skepticism that there is a quote unquote right reason and a quote unquote wrong reason to opt out. You might disagree. I personally disagree, but I think that's some, kind of capital F football thinking there. So, the prospects I talked to, Caleb Farley, Gregory Rousseau, both projected as first round, depending on the mock, I suppose. And Ambry Thomas from Michigan and DeMonte Coxey from Memphis. And, all of them said the kind of skeptical questions were few and far between, but they were getting them. Caleb Farley recalled one, I think he said it was a defensive coordinator from a team, basically asking him, how are we going to know that you're not going to opt out of the next season? To which he replied, well, there's a vaccine. And then they asked him, what if there's another pandemic? So you kind of see like the line of questioning here and like how serious it might be. And, some of the players thought that it might be more, the kind of gotcha questions to see how they react, which, NFL teams, there's no shortage of them doing every year. It certainly depends on the team, and again, depends on the player, I guess, and depends on the answers they give.
Something that, as I was reading along, and I know that if you were to go too deep into it, you'd be giving away what teams, had said what, but was there any correlation to kind of the attitude towards the guys opting out and the win-loss record and maybe where they're drafting at? Did you get any sense of that? Like maybe the more successful teams are the ones that are just evaluating the player on his merit and not whether or not he opted out of the season?
Oh, that's a good point. No, I didn't actually notice that at all. Caleb Farley said the two times teams ran at him were both teams picking in the top 20. And that was as specific as he wanted to get, which I think in itself is revealing that, the idea of like saying what teams are out there might in itself reflect poorly on him in the eyes of other teams. I think might be the implication there. And Ambry Thomas, the same deal. So, I didn't necessarily see any correlation, or they didn't note it, but that's not to say there isn't one.
Yeah, it's a really interesting topic, when, especially out here, because at the University of Oregon, you know, there were four guys that all opted out of the season. And, you know, with Penei Sewell, who's going to be near the top of draft boards, and Javon Holland, who's projected to be a first, second day guy, to guys like Brady Breeze, who, you know, is going to be in the later days of the draft. You know, have you heard anything, or did you see anything about how different conferences kind of handled the COVID season? Because we talked to Brady Breeze, the Oregon safety, who said that, like, look, it got to a point where we were on again, off again, on again, off again. And I just said, I'm done. I can't do this anymore. I don't know how many more times it's going to be started and canceled. Did you get a sense that maybe how conferences handled it is being part of this evaluation too?
Yeah, part of the evaluation, I'm not sure, but certainly part of the calculus for these players, as you mentioned, you know, the guy, especially the guys in the Pac-12, and I think probably the Big Ten. You know, Ambry Thomas from Michigan talked about just kind of the back and forth that they were feeling in that conference. Will they play? Won't they play? They're suspending the season. No, they're back. Okay, will the guys who opted out be able to come back? What if they signed with an agent? There was just kind of so much swirling around that time that I think it just created that much more uncertainty. And you know, that is kind of the operative word, I guess, is uncertainty, is that from both angles, right, that the teams aren't really sure. They feel that they're not really sure, that there's an added level of uncertainty about what they're getting in these guys. And then the players themselves aren't entirely sure how the teams are going to view them. It's almost like, you know, they're not going to really know how it affects them one way or another until their name's called.
You know, as the comments from each four of those guys, whether it was Ambry Thomas, Rousseau, Farley, or Coxie, you know, just sitting there and reading them, did you get a sense of how much those guys actually missed being out there with their teammates and with their buddies out on the field? Because at reading the article, I got that sense of, it seemed like it was kind of a gut-wrenching thing to even talk about not being on the field with their teammates.
Yeah, you know, Caleb Farley talked about not wanting to feel like, in his words, the black sheep of the Virginia Tech program. You know, how would my teammates view me? How would my former coaches view me? You know, to a man, all four of them were on the text thread constantly throughout the season. You know, they were texting their fellow position players, and, you know, coaching them up. And, you know, in the case of Ambry Thomas, like, actually recording game film while he's sitting at home on his couch watching, and like sending clips and telling him, you know, this is where you messed up. So, you know, some of them were very involved. Some of them were, you know, a little more, I think, reserved. You know, they weren't really sure where the line was in terms of, like, you know, still being part of a program that you're not part of, but you were part of until pretty recently. Kind of an awkward line to straddle. And I think, yeah, all four of those guys definitely felt some FOMO.
At the end of the day, the sense that you got from these guys and kind of talking to league evaluators and executives, do you think that, I don't know if we can sit there and say a right or wrong way, but do you feel that the NFL is being fair to the players that are coming out, like on a more of a blanket kind of sweeping generalization of how the league itself has handled the opt-outs?
They probably should be, given that there's so many guys in the top round who opted out, right? Between, I mean, Sewell and Slater and Lance and Parsons and Rousseau and Farley and Chase, and I'm probably missing like three guys, and they kind of don't have an option. Otherwise, they're just, like you said, they're going to let the people down at the bottom of the draft. The teams that had a good season kind of gobble those players up if they think they're worth something.
It was a fascinating piece, and I found it amazing. Ambry Thomas, who has colitis, and that was one of the reasons why he opted out of the season, to Gregory Rousseau, whose mom is an ER doc. Caleb Farley and Coxie each have their own personal stories behind each of them. I highly recommend going to SI and checking it out. Alex, I really appreciate the time and just talking to you and talking to us about, you know, the prospects and how they are being treated, because it is such a weird year. And of all of them, the 150 plus players who sat out in 2020, their stories are going to be kind of finalized at the end of this month in the NFL draft. Thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate it, Alex.
Yeah, thank you.